Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Normally, when I preach, many of you know, I'm kind of the hype man. I'm the rowdy guy. This morning is going to be a little bit different. I believe church is a place to have fun, so hopefully I'll crack a few jokes here and there. But it's a little more serious, a little toned down this morning. There's no worship at the end or nothing like that. I'm sorry for those that were ready for it. But who knows, maybe the Lord will lead another direction. But what I do want to talk about this morning is something that I believe to build up the church. A long time ago, or maybe not that long ago, but when I preached one time, I said a hungry church is a healthy church. And I believe that we are a hungry church. And so what I want is for God to satisfy that hunger, because that's the only thing that can satisfy that hunger. And so this morning, I believe in His Word, this is something to satisfy that hunger. And see, in God, it all comes from a place of love. None of this is to smack you on the bottom and say, you no good, because that actually ties into the sermon this morning a little bit, is I don't want that, okay? Because the Bible tells us, this is me kind of explaining the verse before I say it to you, is no matter how much scripture you know, you can quote it all you want. You can know Jesus' middle name. I don't care. Because without love, it's nothing. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. 1 Corinthians. Knowledge will just puff you up, pride. And that's where people go to die. Is pride. But see, love, God's love, that'll build you right up. You're going to be one strong, yeah, get jacked. I'm not the poster boy for being jacked, but you know, my dad on the other hand. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's the poster boy for, never mind. He cracked a joke about it like a week or so ago about, you know, Girl Scout peanut butter cookies. But, anyway, no, he's the poster boy for what I'm going to talk about this morning. The Bible verse that I want to start with is in John, the book of John. If you got your Bible, open it on up. If your Bible glows, it's not truly a Bible, but I'll forgive you. You can use your phone, okay? Unless it's a glow-in-the-dark paper Bible, then, man, where'd you get it? I want one. But yeah, John chapter 16, that's where we're going to start off. Also, if you do not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And you can use that one, but if you do not like own a Bible at all, like at your house, there's no Bibles to be found, you can steal that one, okay? Just you, whatever it is that's going to make it good for you to take it, you can hide it, you know, and just run with it or something, whatever you want. It's a gift to you, really. It's a gift from God, not from us, you know. God inspired that word for us to have. And so, John chapter 16, we're going to start in verse 7. In this section, in my Bible anyway, there's a little header, you know, they do those nice little headers. I like those because it keeps you from reading a whole chapter and then finding the one verse that you really wanted. And then you're like, well, I just wasted all that time. But it's really not a waste of time to read the Bible. I'm not saying that. Anyway, the title is The Work of the Holy Spirit. All right, so, but I tell you the truth, verse 7, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. This is Jesus when he is leaving the earth, okay, when he's ascending into heaven. I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor, a.k.a. the helper in some versions, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit. All right, we got that covered. Will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. He's talking about himself. See, back then, he wasn't such like a highly sought, like, certain people didn't like him, in case the crucifixion didn't get that point across. And so, he was going to leave. Okay, and he was sending the Holy Spirit after him to help us, to guide us, to be there with us. It tells us to convict us. And that's what I want to talk about this morning is conviction. Conviction. Too many times have I heard this phrase, You know, people, it's warm in here. People have this idea about conviction that is completely false. Okay? I don't know where it started. I've fallen for it. I know many people have fallen for it. Something called personal conviction. It's talking about the Holy Spirit convicting us as a person, as an individual. That I understand. That's personal conviction. But I've heard personal conviction used like this. Oh, well, you feel that's a sin? Well, for me, I don't feel convicted about it. That's my personal conviction. Is that what that verse said? No, it says the Holy Spirit will come and convict you. It will convict you. It'll tell you what sin is. It'll tell you what is right and wrong. Not you. You're not going to be able to tell yourself. The Spirit's going to help you. That's why it was sent. Holy Spirit is going to be there. Help you out. Now my dad, this makes me think of it, is my dad. I've been with him a very long time. Okay? Pretty much all my life. The guy, now, I know him fairly well. I know his likes and his dislikes. At least most of them. He dislikes it when you take something cold and put it on his bare skin. The day that Brock almost died. Like, for real, I ain't kidding. He's always done that to me. He refuses to admit that he's done it to me before, but he's done it to me before, okay? He has. He's taking something cold. If he comes in from outside shoveling, he'll put his little fingers. My mom knows, but my dad refuses to admit it, okay? So one time, I saw my opportunity. I grab a cold soda from the fridge and just bop right on his back. This is no joke. He's at the counter and I'm behind him. So he doesn't even, the best part, he didn't know it was coming. Like, he didn't see me coming at all. It was great. He's just sitting there at the counter. Then all of a sudden I do it and he's like, pop, 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 wah, wah. And he starts, and I'm like, oh no, what did I just do? He seriously just turns. And like Mr. Judo Olympics, little Junior Olympics judo man popped out and like he just started going like, I don't even know, Krav Maga on my butt. I just, all of a sudden all these moves I never knew he could do. And like, I thought I was dead. Like, I dodged most of them, but the kick and one of the punches got me. Like, I'm not exactly sure how many he threw because he was moving just that fast. And like, it freaked me out. But at the same time, I know that my dad likes when I do things right. As you got from probably last Sunday's sermon where he's talking about the tool set and all that stuff. But he left town this week on Friday, and he was like, son, make sure you take the garbage to the dump. It can't be sitting in the garage. You got to take the garbage to the dump. And I've done this before, okay? But a lot of times I always forget to take, after I empty them in there and then I put them in the back of my truck, I forget to put the cans back in the garage. It's just, for some reason it escapes my mind all the time. And I remember, he's out of town, it's Saturday, I set my alarm. My sister and she had a friend in town, and so we were up kind of late. And I was tired, so I hit snooze a couple times. And I was like, well, when is the dump open again? Maybe I can Google it. You can't Google that. I mean, I don't even know. I can't find it anywhere. And so I'm like, I forget. My dad has a picture on his phone of their hours board so that he always remembers. But I'm like, I'm not about to text him and ask him because that ruins the whole purpose of me being Mr. Independent. Let me move out on my own type deal. You know, he always jokes about, oh, we still got one left. But I tell you what, who's going to be running to the dump then, huh? All right. I'm going to pay for that one. But I went, and I remember I got out of my truck, and it's cold out, okay? And I'm wearing one of my, like, shooter shirts, like, for shotguns, and, like, I'm just wearing a T-shirt underneath. And I'm like, oh, it's still cold out. Like, I'm wearing a couple layers, and I'm still cold. This was wrong. And I was like, oh, I got to run in the house. And I got to the door, and I froze. Not literally, even though it was close to being that. But, like, I stopped, and I was like, the cans. And I remember I turned and looked, and they're in the back of my truck. And I'm like, oh, but the door. And I was just struggling, this inner battle of, oh. And then this thing came in my head, this little note that my dad always says to me whenever, you know, I'm going out or doing something on my own. He's like, what kind of man are you going to be? And I'm like, crap. And forgive me for swearing. And so I'm like, ah. And so I go all the way back over there. I grab him. I put him back in there. And then I shut the garage door and I go inside. And I was like, actually, that felt kind of good. And then last night I get a text from my dad. And he's like, hey, I've been praying for Sunday. Hope you're doing well. And I said, hey, thanks. By the way, I did the dump. I ran the garbage to the dump. And the text I get back says, awesome. Did you put the cans back? And I was like, yes, I did that right away. And he's like, good, you know, all this stuff. And I was like, I know what my dad likes. I know what he is like. I know what he stands for. I know what he's against. You know what I mean? He's not for being, you know, his morals and all these different things. And I know that because I've lived with him so long. You ever have that person that you're friends with and you're hanging out with them a little bit and it's just the beginning of that friendship? And you're just hanging out a little bit, and you're still getting to know them and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, one day, you spend like the whole day with them. And then out of nowhere, they do something that you're like, whoa, I didn't know they were like that. Like all of a sudden, it's like it changes the game. You're just like, what? I don't know if I want to hang out with them anymore. Like they just said that, or they just did that, or they just ordered that, or they just... we're talking about going to this, and I was like, yo, I don't know if I want any part of this now. Like, I'm not sure if this is my friend. See, that's the thing. It's a lot like conviction. See, the Holy Spirit telling you righteous, what is sin, what is not, what is right, and what is wrong. You have to be close to God to know that. The same way I'm close to my Father. The same way when you're not close to a friend, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, they're like, yeah, and they do something, and you're like, whoa, like, what in the world just happened? It's like blows your mind. I didn't know that they did that. Or you're scrolling through Facebook, and it's a new Facebook friend, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm going to Facebook stalk them. Then you go to their past pictures, and you're like, whoa. Whoa. Not sure if I want this to be seen. I see, I've had those moments a lot because I know my mother, and she will see who I become friends with and then go to their page and stalk them. So if they got pictures that ain't good, you know I'm going to be, why are you friends with that person? Like, it's okay, my mom doesn't really sound like that. It's more like, why are you friends with that person, eh? No, I'm just kidding. She's Canadian, that's why, well, British, whatever, that's why I say that. So, but see, that's the thing about conviction, knowing what is right and wrong. It's almost like knowing God's likes and dislikes, kind of, if you don't mind the parallel. That's a little bit dumbed down a little bit. I needed it. And so, to know that, you need to be close to God. You got to know God. Forgive me, I am getting warm. It's warm in here. Being close to God. People laugh when they see me carry this around. I carry this almost everywhere I go. For those that don't know, it's a gallon of water. Okay? I was at a gas station the other day. And it's the communion table. Conviction. I was at the gas station the other day, and I was at Walmart, and I'm at different places, and I look at bottled water. You know how much a bottle of water costs? Man, what am I supposed to cut off my arm and give it to you? Like, what in the world? It's water. You got a water fountain for free over here. Why in the world am I going to pay $2 for water that's supposedly smart water? Like, what? Then you go to the back of Walmart, and one of these jugs, empty jugs, is $1.37. Hey, you can fill it on your own. Mind blowing. Okay? I was like, yeah, I'm going to get a gallon jug. Oh, I almost opened it. You guys would have been toast. A gallon jug. Here's the deal. What spurred this was youth convention with most of these wonderful people. I got sick, like nose, throat, chest. Now, when it comes to being sick, I'm the person that's like, I don't say I'm sick. That's giving into it. I don't do that. I say, God's got me. That's me personally. Now, there's other things in my life I wish I could be that way about, but I'm not always that way. I worry. But when it comes to being sick, I'm like, this ain't nothing. So here's the deal. The past few years of my life, since I've changed my mentality on being sick, and I know this sounds really weird, but my sick schedule is, it starts in my nose, I get a really stuffy nose, and then I get a really sore throat, and then I get a cough, and then it's gone. And it's a 3-day process. Each day is a different part of my face and chest. See, that's honestly, whenever I get a cold, that's what it is. It's a 3-day process, boom, 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 boom. That's it. Done. And then it's over. It's gone. I was at youth convention, and I got this. And I was like, 3 days, be gone. 3 days went by, and I was still sick. And then I finally had to say it. I was like, Mom, I think I'm sick. I was like, I don't know what's going on. And it lasted for a while. I had a cough for a while. And so then it caused me to look at my day. Okay, because I'm like, why in the world am I still sick? Am I not washing my hands enough? Am I not taking my vitamins, as my mother would say? Vitamins. It's that British thing again. Am I not doing that? Am I not? And then I looked at my day and I was like, man, I'm drinking a lot of soda lately. Oh, man, I'm drinking a lot of not water lately. So when I was like, you know, I was rolling through Walmart and I was picking up some vitamins because here's the deal. I don't eat fruit or vegetables, really. Potatoes, that's about it. Meat and potatoes, that's my diet, okay? And the occasional fruit if it's in a pie. And so I picked up this jug, and I was like, I'm going to drink a gallon a day. Just water, nothing else. No coffee, which I was having like 4 cups of coffee a day. I mean, it's wonderful working in this office. Miss Marlene makes the best cup of coffee in town. My dad thinks it's too strong, but we know how my dad is. No, I'm just kidding. But I was like, I'm going to drink a gallon a day. I'm going to do it. You know, it's harder than you think. It's actually, no, it's not hard to drink the gallon. It's hard not to drink anything else. Because out of habit, I'm like, go to the coffee machine, grab it in the morning. I'd wake up in the mornings. Mornings were horrible. I'll tell you what, though, because I was taking my vitamins, all this good stuff, like, the headaches were not as bad. Like the caffeine withdrawals. If you have enough caffeine, you get caffeine withdrawals. Those are bad. But I didn't have that much. And so I went almost 2 weeks where I was drinking a gallon a day. There were some days where I didn't get quite a gallon. There were some days where I drank more than a gallon. And then I slowly introduced half a cup of coffee. Because here's the deal. It started tasting nasty. Ugh. I didn't have soda or anything other than water, half a cup of coffee, and I had 1 cup of orange juice during this period just to get my vitamins. See, I said it right that time. But I was drinking water constantly. And it's good for you. Water is good for you. It's natural. I just fill it every morning, take it with me all day everywhere I go, and just drink it wherever I can. It was great. But the thing was, it was a holiday, and so special occasion. May or may not have had a little bit of soda. So the streak dies, rip the dream, I know, and it like burned my throat. Like I took a sip and I was like, oh, I was like, what? Are you sure this is soda? Like, This is burning my throat. Not, but, you know, it tasted good, though. I got to be honest, some cream soda. Woo! I don't know about you, but that stuff's really good to me. But, it tasted so good. But it just, my stomach and things, and I just started feeling like, oh. And, like, This is where it ends. You know, I survived the judo Krav Maga of Randy Williamson, but I can't survive one thing of soda. Like, I thought this was it, but, you know, drinking a gallon a day, gallon of water a day, and like just kind of drinking nothing but water made me realize how bad that stuff is, how nasty it tastes. So I'm telling you this for this reason. If instead of reading that wonderful book you're reading, and all you read for a week was your Bible, instead of watching whatever show, maybe watching a sermon, listening to a podcast instead of listening to that music, or they have this wonderful thing where you can get the Bible in audio form. They also have tried to do the video form of a Bible, and I got to be honest, any rendition isn't quite that great. But hey, if you're for it, go for it. But what if we did that? Like the water. Sure, sin tastes sweet. Sure, all these other shows, all these other things, all this music, all this other stuff, it tastes sweet. But I guarantee you, if you took a week and got rid of it out of your life and maybe just drank water, I mean read your Bible for a week straight, the other stuff might not taste as good. It might make you a little bit sick. And you know why that is? That's because conviction. Because you're getting closer to God, so you understand his likes and dislikes a little bit better. This is what conviction is. That is what conviction is. It's not your personal interpretation of the Bible. It's the Holy Spirit. And in order to understand that, to get that, to process it, you got to get close to God. You can't know somebody without talking to them. For the longest time, there's people I've seen from a distance. And you feel like you know them. You feel like you know them. You know, like all those celebrities. Oh, I know their favorite color, their favorite food. I read all the magazines. I'm up on all the gossip. It's just amazing. But have you met them? Have you sat down and talked to them? I hear about all these celebrities that are Christians. Oh, please. Good heavens. Oh. Ooh. It drives me nuts. It's like the celebrity Christian is like the best form of a sinner almost. Like it's weird. It's like they get a pass because, oh, they have to act in movies and things. They have to be characters that aren't saved, so they're allowed to do all those impure things. No. That's not it, okay? Get close to God. You understand these things. You see these things. You drink a gallon a day, you'll understand soda ain't good. It makes you feel like junk. It like will give you like a hangover. Like it's nasty. It wrecked my system just having like a little bit. And I was like, ugh. So I'm back to drinking a gallon a day. I ain't drinking nothing else. And I used to be the biggest coffee drinker. There was a point in my life, I was drinking, no joke, I'm not lying, 7 cups a day. Whoa. And then I tried quitting that cold turkey. Whoo! I was in my office with a hood on and the lights off and just laying on my desk like this. I was done for the day, man, and it was only 9 o'clock. That's when I get to the office. It's at 9 o'clock. Some days. Some days. No, I was dying. But see, then, this old process, water, it's just kind of like, oh. In my mind, I was like, hey, this makes sense. And then conviction, it makes sense. Because if you do not know God, how are you going to know his likes and dislikes, what is right and wrong? Be in tune with the Holy Spirit. I mean, what I'm telling you is you should fast. Because that's what fasting is. It was the elimination of food to realize my strength does not come from that. It comes from the Lord. I'm going to eliminate something from my life in order to put whatever that need is in my life. I'm going to put that and put that need in God. God will satisfy that need. Not something else. And doing it for a period of time because it draws you closer to God. That's what fasting was. I'm just telling you that maybe you should fast whatever you're reading, listening to, watching, putting your time into, in order to get closer to God, so that maybe, just maybe, your convictions might look a little bit different. Maybe it'll actually start lining up with what God has to say. We always see these people, there's like, that's such a great Christian. They're a great Christian. What they do, it's amazing. That could be you. Just as easy. Oh, but they don't have the same struggle. They got their own struggles. They got their own battle that they're fighting. And so they fight it. But see, they draw close to God. He is their strong tower. He is their shelter. He is their shield that will protect them. But he is also the man that gives them the sword to fight. See, this is where conviction comes in. And if you think, you know, this is sin, this is not sin, oh, that's my personal conviction, you may not be as close to God as you think you are. I've had that wake-up call in my life. I've had that wake-up call in my life because I've seen my sisters. My sister Brittany has fought many battles in her life, some physical, that she's pushed through, that could have been very easy to be like, God, where are you? Yet she still is a prayer warrior, gets down on her knees and prays for people and serves all she can. I've seen my sister Jessica be on staff at places, be hurt by people in the church, be abused by people in the church, be taken advantage of by people in the church, disagreeing with their philosophies, but guess what? She still honored the contract. She still honored the commitment. And she always trusted in God. She's the person that gets knocked down 7 times and gets up the 8th time, my sister Jessica. My sister Sydney, you want to talk about somebody, like just somebody who is like the symbolic poster girl of purity. You know, she's not without sin. She's not the perfect person. But man, if there was somebody close to it, we always joke that she's the favorite. Because she is. But you know, but it's that whole deal with, you know, you trust the trustworthy one. You're not going to trust the guy with tattoos. So it's just the way that it goes. But anyway, I've seen my sister Sydney live a life pleasing to the Lord. Sure, she's had trouble. She's had peer pressure. She's had struggles. She's had battles. But somebody who holds so firm to the Bible, to righteousness, even through the flame, through the struggle, to see that, to see their conviction and their resilience in the faith, it inspires me. And I had my moment of, that can be me too. I got a long way to go before I get to their level, trust me. Well, most of you know. But to see the way that they live. And you know, honestly, it ties back into what the first verse I said in my message. Is love builds up. That I would have never seen that. I mean, sure, I would have been around it and I would have looked at it and I would have seen it, but I would have never truly seen it if it wasn't for their love. If it wasn't for the love that we have for one another as a family. Because they've seen me through my hard times. They've seen me through my mess ups, my screw ups. And yet they still love me. I'm still their brother. You know, you guys have heard me quote this before. My dad, you never go against the family because we're Italian or something. That's what he says. But I don't really know. I like to believe it. But, you know, you never go against the family. And that's how I feel about my brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's why I bring this message to you. Is because no matter what mess you get yourself in, no matter what you do, I'm going to be there. If nobody else is, I'll be there. I'll do anything for my family. My sisters, it was funny. I was just talking to Sydney the other day. She was talking about some dumb boy up there who some other girl lit her hair on fire. Thankfully, she didn't get hurt. It was just a little bit, and he got it out in time. And I said, if a boy ever did that to you, I'm coming up there. You call me, and I'm driving up there that day, and that boy's head is going to be roasted. Like, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Even if my sisters were in the wrong at some point in their life, I would still stand by them. Pick them up and say, the biggest mistake, bigger than the mistake you just made, could be not to learn from it. I've told a sister that before. Bigger mistake would be not to learn from this. You got to move forward. See, it's the love that builds one another up. Sure, you have conviction. Sure, you're close to God. You know the knowledge. You know his middle name. You can quote all the verses. But if you do not live a life of conviction, it's meaningless. If you do not live a life after God, I don't care what you can quote. You can prove to me that your bloodline comes straight from him. If you are without love and you live a life with no conviction, it's meaningless. That's why I tell you this morning. There was a man. There was a guy named Holly when we first moved here. He was one of the best. And I remember my dad would make altar calls for salvation. And he had been saved. And he would respond every time. Every time. He was the greatest guy. He's hilarious. Tough old veteran. The only person that could put him in his place was his wife. She was a little spitfire of her own. But he was a great man because he understood it. You want to talk about somebody that got conviction? It was him. He knew. Because he responded every altar call. He knew. It clicked in his head that is what conviction is. It's understanding that letting the Spirit lead. Letting the Spirit lead and realizing what is sin and what is not, and realizing I need Jesus every single chance I can get. I tell you what, he got saved every week because he believed he needed it. Truth is, we all need it. We need to be saved daily. At least I do. Maybe you're better than I am. I get it. Trust me. That's what conviction is. So close to God, in tune with his Spirit, to see the right versus the wrong. In order to do that, maybe you got to drink a gallon of water a day. And well, maybe you literally need to drink a gallon of water a day. I don't know, maybe. The $1.37 at Walmart, man. Fill it up in your sink. But maybe you need to start reading your Bible rather than your, I'll use a nice word, stuff, your other stuff that you read. Maybe you need to start listening to some Christian music. I tell you what, I have the hardest time with that. Christian music to me sounds the same. Even Christian rap. And it all just sounds the same to me. It drives me nuts. And if I'm going to work out, I can't listen to Oh Come All Ye Faithful. I can't do it. Like, I love the music. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate the words. But when I'm getting my pump on, man, I'm like, I can't. Like, I need something. But I'll tell you what, you know, the process of that, the music I listened to, I knew it in high school. I saw it in high school. I experienced it in high school. If it had swearing in it, and I was lifting and I was doing my workouts, and I started hearing the swearing. Pretty soon I got numb to hearing swearing. And then I hung around with a bunch of people that swore. And then pretty soon, all of a sudden, I knew myself struggling with swearing. See, that's the reverse process of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting closer to God. But it's just as easy to fall away. to be in tune with Him, to focus on Him, to get close to Him. Maybe just don't listen to music. Maybe just get rid of it. Put the book down, pick up your Bible. Because I'll tell you what, there's some really good stories in here. And there's genres for every type of person. You like romance novels? There's good romance in there. You like blood and gore? Oh, trust me, there's a lot of that in there. It's like, here we go. Here's one for, no offense, don't take offense. Here's one for all my bald people. I've been there. I shaved my head once for a fundraiser. If you're bald, listen. There's a story in the Bible about a bald guy. And some kids were making fun of him. They were making fun of him. And I remember I was doing it for Speed the Light. We were shaving my head. And there were some little kids that came running up to me. And they were like, hey, you're bald. And I was like, oh yeah? You want to hear a Bible story? And so I told them this story. True story. Remember, the Bible's true. These are all historical events. This bald guy getting made fun of by these kids. Rebuked him. A bear came out of the wilderness and mauled the kids. That's what I'm talking about. That's the God that I serve. No, but for real, hey, any of my bald brothers in here, there you go. Anybody makes fun of you, just say a little prayer and maybe a bear will come out of nowhere and just whop. Who knows? We'll see. Cracks me up every time. I love that story. But see, this life of conviction, it's not just about ourselves, it's about the people around us. What are they going to see? Like the way that I saw my sisters. I saw my sisters live lives of conviction, standing for something. And it inspired me. See, that's the difference between conviction and condemnation. And this will be my final note. See, condemnation is final. That's the end. It's done. It's like a youth student gets in trouble. I go up to him, I smack him a little bit, and then I say, but it's okay. No, I don't actually smack the kids. I don't want you to think that. That's not what I do often. And, you know, it'd be different. I yell at him, you're terrible, you're horrible, you did a bad thing, it's never going to change, and then I left. That's condemnation. And it's very easy to confuse conviction and condemnation because they start the same way. This is wrong. That's what they both start with. This is wrong. The difference is condemnation will beat you over the head with it, while conviction will inspire you to be something better. Condemnation is the end. Conviction is a new beginning. That is the life we live. That is why Jesus is our hope. Because it's the Trinity. The God, the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is right in tune with them. And it says in Scripture, I believe, it talks about the Holy Spirit does not speak on its own. It speaks what it hears from the Father. It'll speak to you. Love comes from Him. Hope comes from Him. Peace comes from Him. Grace, mercy, faith. All these things come from the Father through the Holy Spirit to us. That is conviction. It always has hope. It inspires. The wonderful thing about inspiring, like the inspired word of God, it's translated to breathing into. You know what breathing into does? It gives life. Condemnation sucks life. Sucks life right out of you. It'll make you want to give up. It signifies the end. Conviction inspires you to go on better than you were before. It breathes new life into you. That is what conviction is. That is the life we are to live. It's not personal conviction. It's the Holy Spirit. But we got to be in tune with Him. We got to be close to God to understand it, to get close to Him, to understand what conviction truly is, and to know what things we are to be convicted about. Oh, well, I don't feel convicted about this. Maybe it's because you're not as close to God as you think you are.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.